This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I disagree with the coffee one as well. Coffee's the best. So guys, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Becky. I am on staff here at the church, and if you were here last week, as Jess said, I am not one of the young leaders. Yes, Jess, I heard you. But before I go into it, I really just want to give a shout out again to our amazing young leaders. So you guys saw the camp video, and I didn't grow up going to camp, but my kids have a bit, and it was so cool because this year my son was asked to be a leader. So he had my 14-year-old, they asked him, you want to be a junior counselor? And he's like, yeah. And then he finds out he's the senior counselor in his cabin, so he's walking a little, yeah, I got this. He's like, I'm going to be the leader. And he was pretty excited, pretty stoked. Boost your confidence when someone calls you a leader. So he's excited. He has a lacrosse tournament all weekend. We drive him out late Sunday. He gets there, and there's a big storm. So Mr. Leader is going to be alone in his cabin by himself. And we found out that there were 7 of them stuck in one cabin together because all these leaders, you know, they decided to stick together. So all week we're kind of checking in a little bit here and there. And he's like, no, it's great, it's great. Because on the way out, you kind of saw the weight as we get closer of leadership settle down on his 14-year-old confidence and shoulders. He's like, what if somebody gets sick? What if something happens? It's like, what if I have to, like, deal with something by myself? And I was like, don't worry, you've got great people around you. And there is, like, guys, our kids' people are amazing. If you knew the time, the effort, the prayer that goes into planning these camps, like, it's amazing. And he has to be, we don't even get to pick Finn up from camp. So he's coming in. His brother has a lacrosse game. We're very much a sport family, as you can hear. And my total brag point, we won city championships this week. So Finn got to play up with his brother. So he's coming in hot from camp, and we meet him at the arena, hand him his gear. He gets geared up. He goes out. He plays the game. They win gold. Everybody's celebrating. Like, if you watch a championship game, there's, like, a yard sale of stuff everywhere, and they're running, and they're excited, and I'm on the field with them, and he runs over, and he hugs me, and he's like, Mom, thank you. I'm thinking it's, like, for letting him play up. And he's like, thank you so much for, like, being my mom. He's like, thanks for, like, taking care of us and driving us and getting up with us and like, doing all the things. He's like, I have had 4 kids for 3 days, and I don't know how you do it. It's like, it's great. Yeah, these 4 kids. He did the same conversation to his dad. So really, camp is great, guys. There is some more camps coming up. Get your kids enrolled. Like, really, if you can, if there's financial barriers or other barriers, talk to us at the church and let's see if we can help you out, because this is really important. It's value. It's such a value add for your kids. Not only are they there, yeah, they're there to have fun, absolutely fun, but they get to learn about Jesus. Everything in that camp, every piece of fun is designed to point them to Jesus. And so then they get to come back and they get to live those principles out. So anyway, yeah, just a shout out. It was pretty funny. I was asked, Jess asked me to preach on this passage. And she's like, the call to leadership. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I was like, okay, great. This should be, why is this so controversial? yeah, famous last words. Over the last few weeks, I've been really meditating on this passage. And then I started digging deeper and deeper and deeper into the leadership of Jesus. And I have about 7 hours of content, so hope y'all are comfortable, had your coffee already. We're gonna try and go through quickly. So I do have notes, and I'm gonna try and keep myself tracked down so that we're not here all day. But man, as you start looking into the leadership of Jesus, there is so much on this. And so just as a show of hands, who here is a leader in your job? Okay, I see some people, okay. Who is not a leader? Okay, who doesn't want to be a leader? Great, okay. So it's interesting to me because I didn't want to be a leader. I've never wanted to be a leader. I don't like to, believe it or not, I actually don't like to be up front either, front and center. But there was a call of leadership on my life that God has put there, and I'm going to tell you why that's on everybody here. Whether you think you are, whether you are today and you're walking in that, or whether you're not quite walking in that calling yet, there's a call to leadership on your life. So I started looking into, like I said, what is leadership? Because I like to have a definition of what we're dealing with. And leadership development is a $366 billion industry. So there's a few opinions, a few popular ones, a few not as popular ones. But I'm just for the sake of today, to have a clear understanding, I'm going to go with like some good old-fashioned John Maxwell. And he just said, leadership is influence. That's it. So does everybody here agree that you influence people in some way? There are people around you. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you've got big influence. You're a leader. If you are a CEO, you are a leader. It doesn't matter where you sit, what table you're at, you are actually a leader. So then, hopefully this message is for everybody. We can all agree. Usually in our world today, leadership roles are coveted. That's the head honcho, that's the big guy. Everybody wants to be the leader. I work in a day job in a secular organization, and there's you can tell the difference between the leaders and the not so much leaders. I'm middle management, so I get nothing. I poop rolls both ways, for lack of a better word. But there are those people who, you know, we want to be leaders, and you want to be like them, and you see them in influencers. You know, social media is full of influencers, people who influence, and you can watch the trends happen. So we are being influenced by leaders all around us. We have to know what we're going for, too. What are we letting influence us? Leaders are often the ones listened to. It's a position of power and control. So if you ever think about that, really, when you boil it down, that's a person of influence or a leader actually holds a lot of control and power over the people they're influencing. And we always get the choice of whether to choose for good or evil. So we're born with an inherent desire and propensity to seek out power, no matter what. And our world glorifies power. So this is something that, again, we're fighting that desire for power constantly in ourselves. We're going to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Like I said, I have about 7 hours worth of content, but we're going to pull it down. I'll get you out on time, I promise. They put a big giant timer so I can't miss it. And try just to stay strictly within the text of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. But as we go through this, guys, I just encourage you to look into the Gospels. And, you know, is everybody familiar with the red car theory? Is anybody familiar with that? An affinity bias where you start to talk about something, like you're going to go buy a red car, and all of a sudden everywhere you look, there's a red car, right? So it's just a cognitive bias that we start to seek out something familiar. And over the last few weeks, everywhere I looked was leadership. Every scripture passage related to leadership, good leadership, or in the Old Testament, some really bad leadership. And so having the mirror turned on myself as a leader this last few weeks has been really tough. Because it is, you know, I lead my kids, I lead my family, and I lead in my job. And in other ways, and I'm like, God, I'm so sorry, forgive me. So we're going to try to stick to this 1 Corinthians topic and really see how godly leadership and worldly leadership, that's where the controversy comes in. And so what we're surrounded with, what we aspire to, is going to be tough to see sometimes and reconcile. But the good news is it's about God, not us. So I'm going to start with our first passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just some context. So Paul had gone to the Corinthians and had, as a missionary, founded the church there. So he was kind of he's the founder. He's a bit of a leader. He should be known as that. Some new people had come in, some new teachers, and there was differences in opinion and ideology. It had started to become a bit of a popularity contest. And so instead of leading everybody to follow Jesus, there was leaders saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. And so then this is how Paul starts us off. In verse 1, so then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. So right away, Paul is giving the title of the job profile, servant of God. So how many people here would go to their CEO and say, okay, I think you should change your name and you should be the servant of this corporation? I know in my job it would not go over so well. So title and position are often coveted. And we're known by title and position. So if I was to meet you in the community or you were to meet someone else and they said, I am the CEO of this corporation or this company, you would have a different level of awareness of who they are, rather they said, I'm the janitor or the custodian of this organization, right? There's just that level that comes with the title. So in our daily walk, Paul is right away calling out our job title is the servant of God. Yes, the expectation, those secret things he talks about is really just the gospel of Christ, just the mysteries of God. We have the way to get to the Father. We've been entrusted with the gospel. We've entrusted salvation, and it's a secret that we want to share. It's not really a bad secret. Paul doesn't care about the popularity contest or the comparisons. He doesn't even judge himself. He doesn't buy into that, I need to be this to make this. He knows it's about the heart, and he's looking for the reward of God. He talks about those hidden motives of the heart. That was a tough one. What are our motives? You know, how often do we reflect on our motives to be in leadership? Is it because we feel we need to prove ourselves or earn approval or belonging or acceptance? God always looks at our heart. Wanting to be in leadership and being in leadership is not bad. But what's your motive to get there? Again, really easy to talk about when you're living it. We're going to keep with the passage. So it says, for it seems to me that God has put his apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. What a picture, right? We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We're in rags, we're brutally treated, we're homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we're slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. Wow. Sounds fun, right? Right? This is godly leadership. People stare at us. They watch what we're doing. Everywhere you go, like again, who's here been driving and you see an accident and everybody slows down to see what's going on? Godly leadership gets that same attention as a train wreck because it's so abnormal. It is so out there that people don't know what to do with it. They stare at it. What is that? What is this humility? Why are you taking this? Because you're in a position of leadership. Why are you the one cleaning toilets? Why are you the one, we don't have to always be hungry, et cetera, but why are you doing this? Where is the posture coming from? It is so abnormal in our world and so controversial that people can't help but stop and stare. The kingdom of heaven is an upside-down kingdom. You've heard this a lot, I'm sure, like if you've been here, right? So we have... Do you guys have the slide there? Perfect. So we have the traditional leadership model with others on the bottom and ourselves on top. And then we have the servant leadership model with others at the top and the leader on the bottom. Very not normal. So there is a wave coming through right now in the leadership world of transformational leadership and of servant leadership. I think it's Robert Greenleaf started this in the 70s and 80s. And it's starting to take hold in the leadership world. Yet the praxis of it is very different. They can talk it out, but are they actually leading with humility? Following the way of Jesus pushes against culture and all that the world glorifies. If you look at the difference between what Paul was saying here, sorry guys, next slide. Yeah. So this is the Corinthian church leaders he's talking to, and this is Paul and the apostles. I can tell you that if that was me, I would probably want to follow somebody who has things I want. I don't want to be hungry. I want to be rich. I don't want to be talked down to. I don't want to be dishonored. I want to know that I've worked and it pays off. Paul's like, this is not anything of you. This is a gift of God. This message was just as counterintuitive to culture back then as it is today. What's wrong? There's nothing wrong. Okay, also, I just need to say, there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have your needs met and having that security. But again, Paul considers everything a loss compared to the knowledge of Christ and to knowing him. It's all about the heart posture and those hidden motives. So if we're looking to fill ourselves up and be this on the side for our own glorification, that's where the problem comes in. We don't have to be homeless or live in rags. That's not the message here today. Sorry, guys. Just wanted to make you clarify. It's good. Nobody's going to go and say, I'm not going to that church anymore because I can't live up to this. Really, it's about your heart posture. What is important to you? What matters? What are we seeking out and what privileges? Is it to make ourselves look good? Is it to feed our ego or is it to bring glory to God? Paul even says, he's like, you became rich. You became kings. I wish you were kings. We could celebrate with you. But it was because he called it out because this is how he was living his life out on the daily. Not because he wants people to live like that. But again, he considers it a loss. None of this actually matters in the big story. This is, again, where our controversy comes in. So our world leadership values versus spiritual leadership values are a pretty big contrast. So, again, a lot of our leadership is self-serving. It's led from a place of pride. They hoard control. There's top-down. Some famous sayings. General George Patton said, lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. Leadership is just the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because he wants to do it himself. General Dwight Eisenhower, my job is not to be easy on people. My job is to make them better. Steve Jobs, leadership is getting people to work for you when they aren't even obligated to do it. That's Fred Smith. So a lot of these leaders, like you see there's a lack of empathy. There's a lack of care for their people. People are just a resource. They're used. It's not inclusive. It's divisive. There's the haves and the have-nots. There's ego involved. So, if we had a choice, would anybody want to follow somebody under the leadership principles of this world? No. And I'm sure nobody here ever has had those attributes in their own lives. I know I must not have. I really must follow servant leadership all the time. But when we look to the cross, we get to see Jesus led in humility and self-sacrifice. It was all about serving God and others. It didn't matter what the end story was, the outcomes, the measures. If he was not bringing glory to his Father, it wasn't happening. Sorry. I adjusted my font, guys. Give me a sec. I can't see anything. Okay. Anyway, there's, again, under leadership, so there's a rejection of correction. So who here likes to be corrected? That's great. Good job. We have one. I don't like it. It hurts. But what does it hurt? Does it hurt my work? Does it hurt the people I love? No, it actually hurts my ego. That's where that hurt comes in. Who here has an individual purpose? So there's sometimes a job to be done, and we have to have a purpose and get it done. And it takes a lot of resources. But most of the time, our job is to serve Christ and point others to Jesus. And in everything, we can do that. It doesn't matter what position you're in. It is all about serving him. And Jesus doesn't ask us to do this alone. We're doing it in partnership with him. We want to be more like him. We're also... Sorry. these are different. So I sent these earlier this week, and then I changed a whole bunch of things. So I'm trying to track with it. So sorry, guys. Worldly leadership is autocratic. It's hierarchy. We have that upside-down kingdom principle. We have the kingdom philosophy. We're accountable to God for how we use the power that he's entrusted to us. We're to be compassionate. If you look at all the things that Jesus did, he led everything with humility. Humility is not about thinking less of yourself or putting yourself down. It's just about thinking of yourself less. That's it. It's a pretty simple principle. It stands out, and most people think of it as a weakness. They don't know what to do with it. Again, it's that train wreck of, like, how are you getting things done without telling people what to do? Being humble doesn't make you a doormat. It doesn't mean that you don't have ambition or that you let people walk all over you. It's not passivity, submissiveness, or insecurity. In fact, it's actually the opposite. People who are humble are actually really confident. They're competent in themselves. They know who they are, what their values are, and they let their actions speak louder than words. So leading out of a humble heart, you're so busy doing what you know to be right and caring for the people around you, you have no time to boast. Humility is a centered life around the things that matter the most. It's living out that surrendered life that considers everything a loss compared to the knowledge of knowing Christ. So in Philippians, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. People who are leaning out of this humility and self-sacrifice and those spiritual leadership values, they really are focused on everything around them. They have a situational awareness because it's not just about a job. It's about everybody in the realm of what's going on. It's the ethics. It's the morals. It's the values, not only of themselves, but the organization they are in and the surrounding area. So again, I'm coming from a bit of more organizational stuff, so I keep correcting. Sorry. They listen and they're curious. It's not a threat to their power when they share it. They take time to appreciate those around them. Difficult decisions are actually made a lot easier when you're a humble leader because it's not about you. The humble person considers the needs above their own. When they're faced with difficult decisions, they respect morals and ethics and persons, and they base the decisions on the shared purpose rather than their own ambitions or self-interests. And again, morals, values, etc., we have the guidelines. You know, we have Christ. We can look and say, does this align? God, help me to see, where does this fall under in your kingdom philosophy? And we have the resources at our fingertips. We have people around us. There's an emotional intelligence in that situational awareness of being aware of what's around you and reaching out and inviting people in that a self-interested person doesn't hold. God wants us to lead out that humility. And if you look in Scripture over and over and over again, this is how Jesus led. He didn't consider himself anything. Everything was to direct people to the Father. Henry Nouwen, I love him. And, you know, he was talking about power and powerlessness in one of his writings. And he describes God weeping over our lust for power that's corrupted the human spirit. And he talked about a theology of weakness so that we have total and unconditional dependence on God, because only then can we claim God's power. So the beautiful thing about walking in humility and not hoarding and holding power for ourselves and having our own self-interest is that it's not about us. And at the end of the day, that's what I need to know, is it's about God. And I can lean on him and I can ask him for wisdom. And, you know, he says, who of you is looking for wisdom? Ask. We have the resources of heaven at our fingertips. And we have a leader who leads us in this in integrity. He doesn't just say, do as I say, not as I do. If you look again through the Gospels, follow the lifestyle of Christ. I'm going to keep going on Scripture here on passage. So it says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I'm sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul talks about being a father, a parent, and writing to his dear children. This is an expression of affection. He's not writing them to shame them. We don't use scripture as a focus of our lives, as a lens to bring shame. We bring in correction and guidance and wisdom. And I wasn't sure what he had meant by that word guardian, so I looked it up and did a bit more of a word study. And so the Greek word is actually, bear with me, pedagogus, which is more directly translated as instructor. So, you know, you have 10,000 instructors, but not a lot of parents. And so Paul is highlighting the difference between an instructor. So who here are teachers? We have some amazing teachers, right? My kids have amazing teachers. And I know their teachers care about them and they love them, but they're not their parent. I can get away with a lot more at home in correction and discipline. But I also want my kids to imitate me. So Paul is saying that you have a lot of instructors, but not many parents. Good parents correct and discipline their children out of love. They're with them all the time. They have an awareness of who that person is in a whole new and precious way. They're always there for them. They want their children to imitate their ways. Sometimes as parents, we don't want that. It's like, don't do what I do. And instructors are there, but it's a different relationship. And so God is the perfect father. Some of us have had great parents, some of us had terrible parents, and we don't know what that example looks like. Some of us are parents doing the best we can every day. But God is the perfect parent. And so Paul, again, he's trying to imitate Christ in his role as a parent, and he's saying, there's a lot of instructors, but I'm not going to let you be a spoiled brat. I'm going to tell you what's right, and I'm going to tell it to you in love. I'm not going to come at you with a whip. I'm going to come at you with gentleness and tenderness and say, stop doing this. It's not right. So there's different things that I'm trying to keep on track here. There's different expectations, right? So number one, we're all expected to be servants of Christ. It's not about us, it's about him. We direct everything to the Father. Everything comes from an overflow of who God is and how we walk in that relationship with him. When we as parents are not walking in relationship with God, it comes out in our kids. Did you know that? I see it. You know, there's different things. So again, we know God is perfect. Paul was sending Timothy, his son, whom he loved, to remind them. We need to have these people in our lives who remind us of who God is. Paul was in close relationship with Timothy. Timothy knew him as his dad, as his parent. He loved him. They walked and journeyed together. And so when Paul said, I'm sending you Timothy, he's reminding them, the dad's saying, don't do as I say, not as I do. Dad is living this out. Every way in every way. He was calling the Corinthians to live out. So again, in our own lives, guys, what are we living out that's worth imitating? So this, like I said, tough message. It's really tough. I use this, as Finn was going to camp, I texted him this verse. I'm like, hey, I'm doing leadership. So here's this verse, imitate. On imitation, I said, make sure everything you're doing for those kids in your cabin is you would be prepared to watch them do. And I don't know if you appreciated my nice, gentle reminders, but for me, it was a tough hit. So there's a, because I'm a nerd and I love stats and stuff like that. So Dr. William Glasser has estimated that we remember 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we see and hear, 70% of what we discuss with others, 80% of what we experience personally, and 95% of what we teach others. Big numbers, right? So, what are we teaching others? Are we teaching them? And again, guys, teaching happens without knowing. So because we're in Stampede, I'll go country for a moment. I am country originally, so I can claim that. I'm not a city cowboy. But there was a country song years ago, and it says, "Dad, I've been watching you." And so throughout the song, the dad hears his son say a really inappropriate word. And the dad's like, "Hey, where did you hear that word?" And the dad's like, "Well, I've been watching you." It's like, "Oh." And so then the dad just was like, "No, this is not okay." He was really convicted. And then the last verse of the song, the little boy is on his knees and praying. And he's like, "Where did you learn to pray like that?" And he's like, "Dad, I've been watching you." So guys, people are watching us. We are supposed to be the light of the world. If we can't lead in humility and as Jesus did, what is the difference in our impact? Sorry, this grieves me so much. Because if I was to meet someone, I have met people and they found out I was a Christian and they're like, "Oh, I had no idea." Oh, that would break my heart. Because I want to live in a way that leads people to Jesus. Not because I want to be special or important or seen in a certain way, but because my whole life, I want to lead people to Christ, to the freedom and the peace and the reality of who Jesus is. And so I just want to ask you guys today, what's your call in this? So some of us have run from the call of leadership in our lives. There are people who said, "I don't want it. I don't want to be on display. You know, we don't want to be on display at the end of the arena, like people go into the arena. I don't want that for my life." But guys, guess what? God has called you for his purposes. There's not one person sitting in this room today who does not have a call in their lives. And it doesn't matter what that position is or that title is, there's a call on your life. And I just want to encourage you, live it out. I mean, we could go into Jonah and what happens when you don't. There's all sorts of things there. But you've been positioned where you are at for such a time as this. Each one of you here today. If you're struggling and you want to have some prayer, like we're going to have a time of prayer after this today. And if you have that call of leadership and God has called you to do something and you're like, "I can't do it. I can't do it on my own." And guess what? That's great. I love that you realize that you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own either. But there is the resources of heaven. There's the resources of this church. There's amazing leaders here. There are people who will walk with you and journey with you. And you say, "I had this idea years ago and I don't know what to do with it." Or God has put something in you and you're like, "It's too big. It's too much. God, I can't do it." But guess what, guys? There is a call on your life. And don't deny God's calling. If you are still in a season where you're, you know, you're the low person on the totem pole per se. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. The low person on the rung of the ladder. You still have that call on your life. You be Jesus. You be salt and light in those positions. You take pride in that high position that God has placed you in. We need to be authentically living our lives out no matter where we are. So if you are struggling and you want prayer, come forward. Our prayer team's going to come up, and we're just going to have a time of prayer. Encourage you. Ask God, who are the people that you have in my life to influence, and how am I influencing them? And if there's some things that you're like, "Okay, I need some prayer on this. This has been influencing me too much." Let's pray together. Let's talk about it. Seek help. Because again, we're all influenced by those around us, whether we like it or not. So again, who here is called to leadership? Who here is going to own what God has placed in them and walk that out in humility just like Jesus did? If there's been, like I said, over the last few weeks, there's this major conviction in my own heart of how I'm leading and influencing. And guys, again, not to shame, but to bring light to where God has and to bring freedom. So, yeah, Harmony, you want to come up and we'll just get the prayer team to come up and have a moment of just prayer. If you're also someone who's never made the decision to follow Christ and you say, "I don't understand this. What are you talking about? What is this authority of Jesus or the leadership of Jesus?" Come talk to us. Let's pray together. You know, Jesus is so good. There's such freedom in following his way and leading in that surrendered life because it's not about us. And we can depend on him for all things.
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.